Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 tonight. You know, we'll have opportunities over the next few weeks. Revival in 2 weeks from today on the 21st. And revival is an opportunity not only for the church to press in and to get a hold of God, but it's a time to reach out to people, invite people, get people to come to church. And so if you have those people that are on your heart that you just think they need the Lord so desperately, then plan on inviting folks to church during that time. And then later on in October, our homecoming time is an opportunity to invite people, to encourage people, kind of give them a little nudge toward the things of God. Amen. And the Lord can use you in that effort to reach out. We see here in John chapter 1 a New Testament pattern. This is a pattern that, and really you'll see there's so many things like we described this morning. The things such as Jesus' baptism and his temptation in the wilderness. Many of these things in the scripture are there as an example to us, as a pattern for us to follow. And you'll see that in this text here tonight as well. John chapter 1, verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So here's the New Testament pattern, that John speaks and declares, "This is the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." Two disciples, they hear what he says, and they then follow Jesus. It says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they say unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. So one of those two disciples was Andrew, who heard John testify to who Jesus was, and though Andrew then becomes a follower. Andrew is Simon Peter's brother, it says. Now, we know the big impact that Peter made on the church as a leader in the church on the day of Pentecost and throughout the book of Acts. Peter was a mighty force for God and a leader in the church. We don't really know much about what happened to Andrew. Very little do we know about him, but we do know this. He was the person that influenced Peter to follow Jesus. So you don't know when you're talking to someone, witnessing to someone, praying for someone, you don't know how that God might use that person in a mighty way. And so we should be faithful to share the witness. So you can kind of see the pattern here. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So no doubt the conversation, the rumor of what was happening to Andrew and to Peter had an impact upon Philip. And so now Philip finds Nathanael. You see the pattern. Here's a New Testament pattern that one finds another and another finds the next one. And then there's like this domino effect of many, many coming to follow the Lord. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Revealing the fact that Jesus knows you before he knew him, even before he met him. He saw him even before he met him. He knew his character. He knew he was a man of without guile, meaning he wasn't, he was honest, straightforward, not deceptive. He was the real deal. Nathanael said, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Modern translation is, how in the world do you know who I am? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael is easily convinced. Surely this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. He knows who I am. He knows my character. And he saw me sitting under that fig tree. Jesus answered and said unto him, behold, I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. Nathanael, you're going to be used. You're going to see some great and mighty things that are going to happen. I'm going to use you. Now notice verse 51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So he spoke to him and he said, there's something that's about to happen. And the heavens are going to open. There's going to be a ladder ascending from the heavens down to the earth so that heaven can come down to earth, talking about the gospel being available to whosoever will. And then those angels descending and ascending, it's all also speaking of not only the gospel coming to the earth, but also the provision is made for everyone to go to heaven. There's an opening now, an opportunity. Nathanael, you're about to see something really amazing. There's going to be a ladder. Now, that's a familiar picture there, because it's also in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. You remember Jacob was he was running for his life, running from his brother. He had deceived his father and his brother and stolen the birthright. And he's on the run now. And he comes to a place. It says in verse 10, he comes to Beersheba and went toward Haran and lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So what Jacob had was this dream that was really a prophetic dream, looking hundreds and hundreds of years later to the day when the Messiah would come and the gospel would be preached and the heavens would be opened and there would literally become an access to heaven and heaven an access to the earth, ascending and descending. Praise God. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus can work in our life and that we can be saved, even though a man like Jacob, as deceptive and kind of a vagabond running for his life, but the Lord appeared to him and gave to him this wonderful dream, speaking of a day when redemption was going to be made available for everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So I just think, in meditating upon this, I believe that there are rungs in that ladder that provide an opportunity for people to get to heaven. Amen. And people that are lost, they need the gospel to come down to them, and they need to have an opportunity to go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Everybody that dies, and I know it seems like that everyone that dies, they immediately just put them into heaven. And doesn't matter what kind of a wicked, evil life they've lived, if they're a pop star or a movie star or a sports figure or whatever, if they die tragically, they immediately begin to say, well, they're in a better place, or they're in heaven, and we just believe that they're in a wonderful place. But we know that the Word of God is very clear that only those that have been born again, only those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ and have put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, that's the only people that are going to qualify to go to heaven. That's why it's serious business that we be involved in reaching as many people as we can before the Lord comes. It seems like almost every day we hear the report of someone that has died. In the last week, it's been almost every day we hear about someone. We've been to the funeral homes, and we've had those connected to our family that have passed away. It causes you to have more of an eternal awareness that this life is going to come to an end. And for everyone, they're all going to come to the end of this life, and they need to know Jesus if they're going to make it to heaven. They've got to have the gospel if they're going to make it to heaven. And thank God, the heavens have been opened, and there is a spiritual ladder that's been provided between heaven and earth. Amen. The Bible says that there were angels ascending and descending. We know that the angels can't preach the gospel even if they wanted to. Remember there in Acts chapter 10 that the account is given there, and that entire household that they received and heard the gospel, and God was working in that situation to bring the gospel to Cornelius's household. But the Bible says that he had a dream. It's Acts chapter 10. He had a dream. He was a devout man. He was a holy man. He feared God with all of his house. He gave much alms. He prayed to God. All of these things were all good and wonderful. And he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, Cornelius. And he looked on him and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon. This is Peter. Call for Simon Peter to come and to declare the gospel to you. Now, if angels could preach the gospel and you get saved, then these angelic visitors to the household of Cornelius could have easily have just given him the gospel. But no, that's not the plan of God. The New Testament pattern is that God uses people. God uses men and women. He uses people like you and me to declare the gospel to the lost. Not angels, not anyone else, but just people. Who know the Lord, and they can share the message of the gospel. Amen. So what Jacob saw was a vision, a prophetic message of this time, this age of the gospel, this era of the gospel that you and I live in right now. On how blessed we are because we live in this church age whereby God's grace is made available to whosoever will. And we need to declare it. We need to preach it. We need to testify of the gospel of Jesus to everyone. Amen. So are there rungs in the ladder? And I've just kind of looked at this from one rung of the ladder is the Father. The Father, the Bible says that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he sent his Son. So the love of the Father is there at the top of the ladder. And then the work of what of the Son. He sent his Son into the world. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That's the plan of God. And so another rung of that ladder is Jesus, the Son of God. We have the Father, and we have another rung, the Son, and then we have the work of the Holy Spirit, another rung of that ladder, that the Holy Spirit comes into this world to convict men of their sin and to draw them to God, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When he's coming, he'll reprove the world of sin, the Bible says. And then in another place it says that if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. So the work of the Holy Spirit is convicting men of their sin and drawing men to Jesus, drawing men to the cross. Amen. Just another rung of the ladder. Well, is that all that there is? Oh, no. Not at all. The other rungs of the ladder are you and me. We're the other rungs in the ladder between heaven and earth because we have been given a dispensation of the gospel. It's been handed to us. And we have an opportunity to share the gospel with the world. Amen. And oh, it's like it was there in John chapter 1. It's like it's the domino effect that happens whenever we become serious about reaching people and witnessing to people and reaching out to the lost. I've talked today about Brother Wright, Brother J.W. Wright, who was a pastor friend and a friend of our family. And Brother Wright is my mother's age, almost exactly my mom's age, and a longtime pastor. And he was a pastor about 35, 40 miles away from where we pastored when we were in Oklahoma. And we were, I guess you would say, we were kind of kindred spirits. We believed the same. And we fellowshipped good. It was easy to fellowship with him. And we loved the same things. We had the same missionaries come to our church. And his church was a big missionary supporter. And we loved to support missions. And so we had this common. But you know, back when he was a teenage boy, he got saved in a little Baptist church, General Baptist Church. There's all kinds of different Baptist churches. But this was a General Baptist Church. And my mother also had gotten saved in an Assembly of God church when she was just a child, but got away from that. But when she was about 17, 18 years old, J.W. Wright was one of the influencers that brought her to church, brought her to that little Baptist church. And my mom got saved. A little bit later on, my mom was invited to a Pentecostal revival and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And sometime later, Brother Wright also went to a Pentecostal church, not the same church, went to a Pentecostal church, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and called to preach. And so our lives were kind of have been, you know, interconnected down through these years. But I just went through all that to say that God uses you to influence one, and then the rest of your life can be affected by that person that's been touched by the power of the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. You and I, we're rungs in this ladder of the gospel. We're part of it. Because we have a calling and a responsibility to carry the gospel. Those early disciples were anointed to preach the gospel. It was the power of the Spirit that enabled them to do what they did. Remember, they were ignorant, they were unlearned, they were not qualified, they were commoners, fishermen, but it was the Spirit of God that touched their life, that equipped them and enabled them to do what they did. They literally turned the world upside down by the power of the Spirit of God that rested upon them. So you and I, we are rungs in this ladder. That ladder that he told Nathanael about. That ladder that that Jacob saw in that prophetic vision all those many years before Jesus even came on the scene. And today, you and I are a part of it. We're part of it. And we can be that person that God uses to influence someone to serve the Lord and to know the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's not necessarily talking about somebody from behind the pulpit. It's someone that's a proclaimer of the gospel. How are they going to hear if there's not someone that proclaims the gospel to them? They need to hear it. They need to hear it. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's what happened. That's what's happening here tonight in this service. That I'm trying to issue a challenge to us. That we need to talk to people about the Lord. We need to talk to people about the gospel. Eternity. Eternity is a long time. Unimaginable to die in your sin and not be able to ever escape that eternal judgment. What a horrible and awful thing to even comprehend. I can't even comprehend it, but I do know this. It doesn't have to go that way. For your family, for your friends, for those that you work with, for those that are your neighbors, for those that God has put within your reach, they're all eternal beings that are going to go either to heaven or to hell, and we have a responsibility to be that rung in the ladder that points them to Jesus and that helps them to get to hear the gospel and to be prepared to go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Not angels. No, not angels, people. That's the call of God. That's the New Testament pattern. God uses people like you and me to witness to somebody, to talk to somebody. This week, as the Lord gives you opportunities, ask the Lord to give you courage and boldness so that you can speak up to those that need to hear it. Their eternal destiny may be weighing in the balances. If you neglect it, if you forsake the opportunities, you just don't know what might happen and the tragedy that might happen and the life that might be lost and the person that might go out into eternity without God. You don't know what's going to happen in the next few days or the next week or two. You just don't know. And if God gives to you an opportunity, use it. Use it for the glory of God. Speak up. To people that are lost and need help from the Lord. And I know sometimes we think, I'm just little old me. How could I ever make such a dent in all of the great need of our world today? Well, those early disciples, they were a small group, but they decided, I'm going to be a rung in that ladder, and I am going to declare the gospel. And each one of them did that. Everywhere that they were sent, everywhere that they went, they preached the gospel to the crowds. They preached the gospel to individuals. They gave the truth of the gospel. And God works mightily and multiplies the effort. Whenever you talk to someone and reach that one, then they may reach one or two. And then the numbers can just multiply of people that can be reached with the power of the gospel. That's the power of multiplication. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. That you talk to somebody, you witness to someone, and that effort, as I said, Brother J.W. Wright was an influencer that invited my mom to come to that little Baptist church, and there she got saved, and then the rest is history. She was filled with the Spirit later, and the Lord began to use her in her life, and she's touched a lot of people, and Brother Wright has touched a lot of people down through the years, through the preaching of the gospel, God using them. Let me tell you, God can use you in ways you could never imagine if you'll just allow him to put his hand upon your life. He can do some wonderful and mighty things to reach people for the glory of God. Amen. This building that God has given to us, it should be completely packed every time we come to church. And a lot of the people that come ought to be seekers, ought to be people hungry for God, people that you've welcomed, people that you've invited and you've talked to about the Lord. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. You have to tell people about the Lord. You have to talk to him and give a testimony of what he's done in your life and share with those around you about the power of the gospel to change people's lives. And then you can see the impact that can be felt upon many, many people for the glory of God. Amen. There's no reason for any church to be empty. Every church should have people that don't know God coming into every service, hungering for God, because you've invited them. You've influenced them. You have touched their life with your testimony. Amen. You're one of the rungs of this ladder. Yes, you are. You are. Don't neglect. Don't neglect, because if you do, there'll be those that won't know about God. They won't hear the gospel if you neglect to do what God has called you to do. Amen. And the needs are great. Everywhere you look, the needs are overwhelming. People that are in need, bound in their sin, desperately lost, and they need a Savior, and you know him. And you're blessed and privileged to live in this wonderful age of grace whereby people can hear the gospel and put their faith and their trust in Jesus and be born again of the Spirit. The Lord can change lives, and he wants to change lives. Let's pray together that God would burden our hearts for those in our community, those that are within your reach, that you can touch them and see them come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's believe the Lord. Let's believe God. Would you accept the responsibility of being this particular rung in the ladder that's going to provide a way for people to have access to God? Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Lord, for those that you've used over the years to influence our lives, to know you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just burden our hearts tonight for the lost. Lord, that we would consider eternity and how awful it is that people could slip out into eternity and not know you, Lord. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to be witnesses to people in our world. Lord, even though they may not want to hear it, Lord, I know there's power in the gospel. There's power in our testimony, and it can prick their heart and convict them and help them to see that they need the Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord, let this New Testament example be something that we get a hold of and we recognize it as the call of God upon each of us individually. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you say yes to the Lord tonight? Yes, Lord, I'll do my part. Yes, Lord, I'll be the witness that you have asked me to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.